I am privileged to be here with you tonight. I want to thank Hope Baptist Church and all of you good folks and your kindnesses and goodnesses, both to myself and to the other preachers who are here. You should see the sack of goodies in my room. I called my wife and I said, it's too bad all the grandbabies aren't here. There's enough stuff in there for them and for everybody else. And so thank all of you very, very much. I want to thank the preachers that already have spoken both to my heart and to your hearts, provoking us unto love and to good works. The emphasis that I think that we heard this, find Isaiah chapter 55, if you would please. First of all, we heard that we've neglected God's word. Then we found out about the poisonous fruit of its counterfeit. And then we learned that our liberties are not license. So this evening, if you will, I would like to us just look at a similitude regarding my word. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. Bible says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I pray tonight, Heavenly Father, that thou wilt use your word preached to bring us to a better understanding, both of your word, the purpose and the power and the prosperity of your word in our hearts and lives. And Father, I pray that you'd be pleased that as we leave tonight and go home, that this evening would not have been in vain. I ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I think that the symbolism here is beautiful and fit, and I think it can be understood by even a casual observer. As rain and snow from heaven, so shall my word be. It's a similitude. As this, so is that. Snow and rain are characterized by gentleness, which merges into force. One drop of rain falls on my hand and I brush it away and it's gone. But when those drops are multiplied and a great storm sweeps across the valley, it's resistless in its movement. A feathery flake of snow falls on my sleeve. I touch it and it melts and it passes on and it's lost. Its crystal beauty destroyed forever by the rudeness of my human hand. But let those flakes be multiplied, and the falling snow will take hold of a Ohio freeway that's full of powerful speeding traffic and clog it, stop it, and bury it beneath its soft and noiseless whiteness. Rain and snow are characterized by helplessness which grows into goodness. We ask, what can this drop of rain do for man? And yet we know that when we pass from the individual drop to the great rain, that this infalling makes the whole earth smile back in harvest and crowns the labors of the hands of man. Listen to this most sublime and, I think, simple words. Bible says that he giveth snow like wool, like a warm mantle, like a blanket, like a layer of insulation that keeps the intense cold from penetrating and freezing the ground so that the moisture can sink down into the earth. And so we find that rain and snow, helpless as they seem, are the very messengers of good to men. And do you know that yet that neither rain nor snow are by themselves fruitful, and yet they generate fruitfulness wherever they fall? Neither one of them can sustain life, neither is there any element of reproductivity in either the rain nor the snow, and yet in their cooperation with the forces of earth and with the ministry of light and air, all that is needed to sustain life is produced. So I think maybe that for tonight we can see in the rain and the snow a beautiful symbol of the Bible, of the Word of God. All through history, we've seen symbols become substance, letters become life, and the very thing that seemed to kill becoming that which bestowed life. Notice the phrases, if you will, in verse 10 of our text. Cometh from heaven, returneth not hither, watereth the earth, maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. The rain and the snow, they come from heaven, and man has nothing to do with their cover. Do you remember how it was at that time when God providentially silenced the harangue of Job's friends around him, and then the Lord himself began to deal with the suffering man? God deals with the suffering man in his sorrow and in his agony by making all of his glory of creation pass before him. And right in the middle, right in the sense of that wonderful and marvelous questioning of Job by God, came these two inquiries. Hast thou entered into the treasuries of the snow? Or, Job, do you understand the snow? Do you know where it came from? Can you analyze the mystery of its six-sided crystallization? And then he says a little further down, he said, hath the rain a father? Can you generate rain? Are you able to produce it? Now remember Isaiah's words, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, the word of God is a message from God to man, which no man is able to find out by himself. It is never a man-formulated philosophy. It is always a revelation made, a something declared that man by searching could never find out. There is stamped on every single page of that book that you've got in your lap the signature of God. In his words are the unveiled of his nature. There is the revelation of his deepest secrets of human life, and the illumination and the explanation of the problems that confront man. The Word of God is the gift of God and not the contrivance of man. It came from heaven by the inspiration of God. The rain and the snow came down from heaven and not from man. And the Word of God came down from heaven. It is not the production of man. But it returneth not thither. The snow and the rain pour themselves out on the face of the earth. They melt and they pass, and within a few hours of the rainfall, which sweetened and refreshed everything by its coming, the roads are all dusty again, and we say, man, you know that rain didn't last very long. And in the same way, after the snow was felt the influence of the sun, and it's all gone. It just seemed to pour itself out in magnificent waste. It just didn't look like it amounted to anything. Judged by first appearance, it looks like this gift from heaven had just been poured on the earth just to be spoiled, contaminated, and wasted. It just turned into slushy mud and then it went away. Well, it's the same with the Word of God. The Word of God has been given to man in figure and in symbol, in prophecy and in song, and at last in the person of Jesus Christ. And since he came in exposition, in preaching, in teaching for 20 centuries, and look around. It just seems like as we open the processions and the closings of the centuries, it seems like that great outpouring of the divine revelation was lost, falling upon man just to be spoiled. Look at the state of affairs in the world today and all of the continents that are around us. It seems like everything is just shot and gone to hell in a handbasket. It didn't do any good. We thought it was all being wasted. I've thought that very thing many times right in the midst of my preaching. I've looked out at crowds with passion in my heart for them as they listened, and then they got up and they left and went back as though they had never heard a single word that I said. And I said, yea, verily, as the snow and the rain from heaven, but it returneth not thither. And that's the first impression, I think, on us as we watch God give His word. But there's another statement that completes and explains this. It watereth the earth. It didn't come and then go right back up. It stayed and it accomplished a great purpose. See in your mind's eye in the spring right here in this marvelous state of Ohio, which is nothing but a great big cornfield. See in your mind's eye the dust that covers the plowed and the disked fields, and know that in that dust is the making of everything that's beautiful and is fruitful. But the dust by itself doesn't have any flowers. It doesn't have any grain. It's capable and incapable. Within that dust are all of the very forces of life, all of the mysteries and the magnificence of your own physical personality on the physical side lie within the dust of your feet. You're made out of the same stuff. And all of the flowers that bloom there in potentiality when they lay there, and as the rain and as the snow waters the earth, that earth which has great capacity but which by itself can't do anything at all to fulfill, to wake up the possibilities that sleep within its own being, that watering rain and snow makes all of nature smile and laugh with new beauty. And do you see tonight, beloved, that the same thing, the Word of God, comes to men. Men that have potential, but no realization. The Word of God falls on the centuries, on society, on individuals. And we thought that it touched them. We thought that it spoiled and passed away, that there wasn't any result at all. But wait a while. We watched and we found that by its coming, by its falling, by the coming of the Word of God, the soil became productive. Beloved, there is in every human being the capacity for God. There is in every human being a potential for the highest and for the best. I'm not talking about man's depravity. I know all about depravity. I've seen it in my own life for almost 75 years. But that which is ruined is not destroyed. It will be destroyed without some outside ministry toward it that's good. But with the coming of that ministry, it can know life and fruitfulness. And the ministry that it needs is the ministry of the Word of God. As is the rain, so is the snow to the dust in its helplessness and all of its emptiness, so is the Word of God to man in his ruin. God has not been wasting His Word. Through the centuries, He has given it to us by prophets and by psalmists and by apostles and by evangelists and by preachers and many a dispensation. He has given it to mocking, jeering, laughing crowds. He knows that in all of the dust that lies around Him, there are marvelous and wondrous potentialities. And just as the rain and the snow bring smile and laughter to the dust in the field, so it is that the Word of God touches men and brings life and unrealized capacity into realization. I would say that in this house tonight, many, many of you could stand up and say and remember back to the day and to the hour when God touched you, and now you know that you are no longer the same. And then the prophet adds a further truth. Maketh it bring forth. After the rain and after the snow, the dull brown ground becomes beautiful with emerald and opal and ruby and gold. And seeing this, we know that when God's rain and snow touch the dust, it makes the dust to bring forth. And just so it is with the Word of God. The Word of God moves a man into fulfillment. Every man that ever discovered God's purpose for himself has done so in response to some portion of the Word of God. To the Word spoken, to the Word written, to the Word lived. And just as the rain and snow falling on the earth makes the earth answer by bringing forth life and growth and beauty and fruit, so the Word of God through the centuries has fallen on the hearts of men and women and boys and girls and drawn an answering response out of their hearts of love and service and surrender and worship and obedience to the Lord we love. Not only does it bring forth, see, it buds. We learn then that not only does the rain and the snow touch the dust and bring it into generation, but it comes again in the flower and in the harvest. You see the rainstorm sweep across the field. The first drops did very little. Then the cloud broke and the field was saturated. And the storm moved on. The sun appeared and it warmed the world. You looked at the field. No change except that it was just mud up to your knees. You said, well, that didn't do any good, and you went to bed. Pastor's school was just a bust. Later, you went back and looked at the field, and you saw that it was all a shiny green. First the blade, and then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear, until brown had become green, and green had become a golden harvest. And afterward, you'll hear of reports of helps and victories and answered prayers as a result of pastor's school. And in that waving harvest of gold, what do I find? Well, I find the rain that I thought was lost and the snow that I thought had all just been melted and washed away. But instead of being lost and gone and wasted, it had touched the dust with the chemistry of God. And it had transformed it, and it brought forth a glorious and a gracious harvest of life changed and energy to stay in the work. And a discouragement had gone away because I had fellowship with the men and the women of the other around this whole continent, the whole place where the churches came together, and I found fellowship. Now, beloved, it's just as true that the word of God that he's been given through all of the centuries has never been lost. It has come from him to touch the failure of human life, and it's been returning to him with the harvest of ransomed souls. I tell you what, I think that in this whole house, we have nothing here but a house full of former failures. But the Spirit of God has touched the hearts and the lives, has touched the nature of men and moved them and changed them and transformed them and bringing them closer and closer to the image of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in every believer which is truthful and honest and virtuous and of good report, what is it? Well, it's God's great word that has touched the fiber of your being and reconstructed broken lives according to his purpose and brought praise and glory to his name. So do you see? The rain makes the earth to generate by the touch of its goodness. But then it answers back and sprouts and answers in a satisfying harvest. And the Spirit of God and the Word of God touches a soul and regenerates it. And that soul answers back in love and worship, a harvest that supremely satisfies the heart of God. Ah, but there's more. There's more, that it may give seed to the sower. What's a harvest for? Well, you say it's so that life can be sustained. It's for food. But beloved, read the book. It ain't the first thing. Seed to the sower comes before bread to the eater. Bread to the eater is a secondary thing. Bread enables the eater to continue sowing and reaping. But the first thing is more seed that waits for new showers, new generations, and new harvests. That's the perpetual story of harvests as they come and go. Always first, seed to the sower, seed to put back into the ground. Now think. Now see the word of God. See the word taking hold of human life, your life, changing it, coming to life in it, giving your life the power to communicate more life, to become a winner of souls, to become a teller of the gospel. You now are a deposit of seeds to scatter into the next field. Your home and your job and your family and your mother and your father and your sister and your brother and those people that you associate with day by day across town, across country, across the seas. From every life remade by the Word of God, there must go forth that seed that will affect other fields and bring new harvests. You come out of a church. Now you pastor a church. Yeah. Got it? You came out of a church. Now you pastor a church. There are seeds that have grown, and you pick a dandelion. It's all white and fluffy, and you blow on that baby, and those things go out, and they produce a whole bunch of more new dandelions. And then at the last, bread to the eater. The worker must partake. He must be fed. The man that plowed and sowed and reaped feeds. And sure, listen to me. And surely it is so with the Word of God. It comes to create more seed to be scattered further and further. But it is also the bread of life to the worker. It provides health and strength so that he can perform the work that he was created for and to which he was called. We heard that very thing this morning from Brother Gipp. Now let me sum this up. This great passage teaches me that God's word has a purpose. Rain and snow don't come down just by accident for no purpose. I also see that God's word is powerful. Rain and snow are never defeated. You can't raise your arm and command them to go back up into the sky. They're going to come down. Further, God's word is prosperous. It accomplishes its purpose, as do the rain and the snow. Now hear me with your heart and hear me with your ears. God's word's got a purpose. It was not given for you to possess it. It was given to possess you. God's truth must hold you, must wrap around you, must change the fiber of your being. God's word must saturate your entire life. And unless the word of God is doing that for me, it's failing in the very first purpose for which God has for it. And it's not just for our good alone. It's seed as well as bread. Now think, do you know how it is that the earth takes in and receives and absorbs the sun and the rain? It exposes itself. It lies naked and open to its entrance as it falls upon it. It doesn't hide. It doesn't flinch. It doesn't evade. It doesn't cover up. It gets soaked. Don't just come to church with your pencil and notebook and write down stuff that you hear and learn. If that is all you do, you are failing. Don't write it on the tablet only. Write it in your heart. You ought to come in here with everything that hides your soul from God stripped away and expose your heart and your thoughts and your soul to your word and let it search you. Lay yourself bare to the light of God's word. Let it soak in. Let it saturate you. Allow it to touch every single area that it can correct you, and you'll find that every single word of God in your heart will become fruitful, just like the rain and the snow become fruitful upon the earth. God's word's got a purpose, and it's powerful. He said that it will not return to him void. And why? Because it never comes void from him. The angel told Mary that she would have a child, that she would bear blessed fruit, impossible with man, but possible with God. And she responded, "Do with me as you see fit. I make myself available to you." Beloved, if we will rightly receive God's word and rightly respond, it'll return to him not void, but blessedly fruitful, in lives changed, refashioned, remolded. And God's word is prosperous. Of course it is. It's his word. He said it shall accomplish. That is, it will not return void and it shall prosper. God gave his word for a purpose. God's word is full of power. It'll accomplish its purpose because it is powerful. Now then, a sermon isn't any good unless it presses for a decision. You need to make a decision. God would have you to make a decision. The rain and the snow might fall for a long time, but there won't be a harvest unless the earth is prepared. The rain and the snow might come in ample measure, but there won't be any harvest unless the seed has been sown. And the rain and the snow might fall and the earth be ripe for harvest. But listen to me, the grain will not be gathered in if there's nobody to go to work. Then do you see those who should have worked will faint because they didn't eat? And next year's growth will be nothing but wild seed. This is pastor's school. The theme is, here I stand. But it's for every man, woman, boy, and girl that hears the word of God and would say, here I stand. So number one, take heed what you hear. In all tenderness and yet as earnestly as I know how, I tell you, hear the word of God prayerfully and obediently. The spirit of criticism never produces the result of power. Pray that God will give you a receptive heart. A heart that's willing to learn, a heart that's willing to hear, and a heart that's willing to obey. Just as the rain and the snow demand an earth that is plowed and broken and prepared, so does the word of God demand a condition of brokenness and openness if it's going to bring forth a harvest. Beloved, it's the heart, it's the heart, it's the heart, the willing heart that's open that God will use. The seed must be sown, and it must be by the preaching of the word. We're not to criticize God's word. We're not to correct God's word. We're not to point out supposed errors in God's word. We're to hear it, and we're to preach it. And remember, the final preaching is not from the lip, it is from the life. And then secondly, the bread that comes must be eaten or the worker will grow weak. The word of Christ must dwell in us richly. It must come into our words. It must come into our intellect. It must come into our emotion. It must come into our will. We must answer his every claim. And as we do, God's purpose is fulfilled in us. We will grow into obedience. We will grow into Christ's likeness to holiness. We'll stand steadfast in the faith. We'll learn to quit like men. That book didn't send me here. Its author did. But it came with me. And it can't give you any statistics on conversions. But I tell you tonight that it is the great stream of living water that you and I are to pour through all of the earth. And to by our effort to quench the thirst of humanity with the river of God. If every Bible in all of this white world is set on a shelf somewhere, the world would be a barren desert. But as we circulate God's word, this wilderness waste, it'll turn green. And it'll become a golden harvest to his own ineffable, unspeakable, matchless glory. So for those few days before us, receive the engrafted word as rain and snow in a waiting prepared field, and ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all of the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Father, thanks for your word, and thanks for these that have come to hear my rantings. I pray you'd bless. I pray you'd move in our hearts, dear Lord, to be like that field that needs to be open, that needs to be receptive, that needs to be willing to receive the engrafted word of God in such a way and in such a manner that we'll be changed, in such a manner that we will be enabled to be your messenger in such a manner that we will grow. And Father, for you and for your own glory, produce a harvest. Father, I pray that as we think about these very things, that the word of God comes into our hearts, into our lives, we can see souls born again. We can see hearts and lives changed. Move us, I pray, my Father, to receive your word, to grow up into the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way and in such a manner that will be honoring to you, pleasing to you. And the Father, we can be guaranteed in our own heart and in our own life that your word indeed has not returned void, but accomplished that very purpose for which it was sent.